Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake, recording from Factor Studio in bitterly chilly Orlando, Florida.
Bitterly chilly?
Bitterly?
It was horrific.
If it's such a baby. Been horrific, birds, it's been gorgeous.
Birds died mid-flight
due to the severity
of the cold snap.
It's been in the 50s at the coldest. During the daytime, it's still in the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, my God.
I was so not prepared. Yesterday morning, I got up in the morning, went into the bathroom, and the bathroom was really cold. And I was like, I guess, did I leave the air conditioning on too? It's really low. And so I did not realize it until I was literally carrying my son outside. I opened the door to go outside, and this blast of like frigid air hit me, and I just
Frigid air, folks. It was like 62 degrees.
Actually, at the time, it was 54.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say, Monday morning, it was 52 degrees at my house.
And when I woke up this morning, it was in the 40s.
Well, let me just tell you, as a female that likes to dress in layers, I love cold weather.
As a male who is forced to dress in layers, I don't mind it as much, I guess. I don't know.
No. It's not bad.
Welcome to For Geek's Sake. I am Al Sterling in the studio today with the one and only Miss Danielle.
Hello, hello.
And our fearless producer Dan.
Hey, everyone.
We got stuff. We do. We got stuff.
Let's not tell them what the main topic is today.
We'll make you earn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're actually doing, I'm going to tell them anyway.
Aww.
We're going to do a bit of a time travel deal today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty excited about it because we've been meaning to do this one for a while. So time travel has to be the topic, but the details we're going to keep secret, I guess. I don't know if secret really counts.
Yeah.
But first, let's do some This Week in Geek. Starting off, a little update on the Apple versus the FBI. We're recording today on Tuesday the 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which means that I don't know about anything going on in the world of geek except for Daredevil.
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I have the exact same.
Yeah.
Like
I don't have that problem.
We had two sick kids at home, and the only good news about that was they slept a decent amount.
Uh-huh.
So every time they were laying down, like back to Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what, though, that is not a show you can watch when a 2-year-old's wandering through the room. Though that's
Why not
one of those. Like it's like you know, like you watch some of these shows and they go over his head, and you're kind of okay. Uh-huh. Daredevil's not one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my 3-month-old doesn't get it yet. So
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful. We're actually going to be doing our Daredevil episode not next week, but the week after that. So you got 2 more episodes till we do our Daredevil recap.
So you better be watching.
Yep, get yourselves caught up because we ain't waiting that much longer.
That wasn't our This Week in Geek, though. We were supposed to be.
No, but Dan made a very good point.
Okay.
I did.
It's awesome. Anyway, so Apple versus the FBI. There was a bit of an update. It just dropped today on Tuesday that there have been – apparently the FBI is backing off because they say they found a, quote, third option. Now, one of the articles – we didn't get this one up on the site, but one of the articles we did as we were kind of researching, John McAfee, who is best known for McAfee Antivirus.
McAfee?
I thought it was McAfee.
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't like McAfee Antivirus, so I don't really...
Yeah, I use the built-in Windows crap.
This one is just like, it's the one that comes on your machine whether you like it or not and is waiting for the moment you're not paying attention to charge you $60.
Mm-hmm.
and I just really, I dislike it.
Norton does that too.
Yes, so. I don't like either one of those.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of AVG and Avast. Those are my... It doesn't matter. Point is, he came out and he has claimed that he knows who the third option is. And not only that, he says that Apple's not going to like it, that it's going to be almost as bad as the universal key that the FBI is requesting.
Mm.
Now, the thing that the caveat here, though, is that he had publicly said when this whole thing went out, hey, I'll handle it for you, FBI, to which the FBI said literally nothing. They just ignored him. So,
because he's like not even a blip on their radar.
Well, and that was the thing that I thought was so funny, too, because as you read through the article and you read his quotes, he just sounds like a whiny bitch.
He sounds like Paul Revere, except no one gave a crap.
Yeah. I didn't follow that one with you at all.
Yeah, Paul Revere. The redcoats are coming.
Right, no, I know who Paul Revere
running
was.
Running through the town, like, yelling at everyone. But this time...
We know the story.
That wasn't the part we were confused on.
But this time, no one gives a crap.
All right. I'm not sure. Okay, I'll give it to you. All right.
It totally makes sense.
I believe you. You know what was really interesting, too, in addition to your Paul Revere analogy, which was spot on, mm-hmm. on the... on the article that we did post on the FBI backing off, there's actually been you got to check out the comments there. Brad, senior legal correspondent, mm-hmm. Sir Thomas Bradford Petrino, I don't think I gave him a third. Now he's the third.
He's not a third, but he is an Esquire.
Esquire. That's right. He had a little blip on there, but we also had one of our listeners posted a couple of things about the Black Hat Conference and the other one they do where they basically hackers get together to see how fast they can hack things.
Uh-huh.
And there's really some interesting articles there, so that's worth checking out if this happens to be your bag.
All I want to say is this whole Apple FBI business, it makes me kind of happy I have an Android.
Really? I would actually kind of this whole thing made me really kind of feel like I'd want an Android or Apple.
Yeah, cuz yeah, even the FBI can't get in.
But if this third key or third option is what John McAfee, who cares, is what he says it is, and it's worse than a universal key, then who knows what it
is. If it is what he says it is, then I bet they put out a McAfee iPhone app.
And like, that'll be specifically to block update. That.
Well,
yeah.
The bigger problem here is that this wouldn't be a problem with an Android because they could already get into our phones.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't care.
Right. Well, that's okay. Anyway, so an update next. We talked last week about Batman versus Superman, and there were some folks that were a little concerned about it. And we had an update on that one, too. Dan, you want to let them know?
Yeah, we had heard that from the screenings that had happened, people were not quite thrilled with what they saw. Last night, or two nights ago, was the, what do you call it, the premiere at Radio City Music Hall, and the reviews are looking fantastic. People are saying that it's the best Batman that we've seen on screen yet. They're saying if this is what DC's got for their universe, Marvel better watch out. Lots of really positive stuff. I'm still, you know, cautiously optimistic.
I think I'm sliding towards actually optimistic. I never really saw a lot of the concerns of other people. Like, there was some stuff, and I'm like, but I think your take on some of the previews was really good.
Yeah.
We talked about those in some of the previous episodes. I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited with it. I'm pretty happy.
That's the other thing that I saw is that people were saying that the previews are deceptively, or they're very cleverly deceptive.
Well, and that's actually what interests me, because I was not as interested after seeing the trailers. Like, I just, it wasn't something that was exciting me. Now, granted, I have Googled, and you still can't see any, like, scene photos of Jason Momoa, which is upsetting, but I have heard he is still in the movie, so I don't have to worry.
He is.
I will still go see it. That's not the only reason.
It's
but
a cameo. Be prepared.
No, it's honestly.
Wonder Woman lands, and then Aquaman's right in front of her.
You'll just have to deal with Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for the rest of the movie.
Oh, no, that's awful.
So we are going to be discussing this. Actually, well, I won't be, but this will be discussed with, I think we're going to try to do a spoiler-free chit-chat about it next week, right? Is that what you guys are up to? I'm actually going to be gone next week. I'll be out of town, but there'll be a mysterious third chair filled.
So what you're saying is I have to watch it before next week.
Yes, because it comes out this weekend, right?
It does.
Okay.
It actually comes out Thursday.
Right, so the same day this drops.
How are you going to get tickets today?
I'm not going to be recording next week, so I don't have to watch it by then.
No. You said you were going to have tickets today.
Oh, yeah. We had actually one of our, Sylvia, who did our Dungeons and Dragons thing. She's been on a couple times. She actually got sneak preview tickets tonight.
Oh,
and I was invited to go and could not.
Okay, I was confused. Okay, that makes more sense.
All right. So let's move on to our next topic. They have discovered this incredibly rare 26-page manuscript by H.P. Lovecraft. Now, Lovecraft is one of the greatest horror writers of our time.
He invented
not even our time. Sorry, the Cthulhu. That's all him.
Sorry,
I know it's always hard. I stared at that for a long time because you read it a whole bunch, but you never. It doesn't really come up in conversations terribly often.
Right. I just know it because it's in a bunch of nerd games. Like, I don't really know the story or anything.
It is. I don't. I can't. I don't think I can actually handle reading Lovecraft. Lovecraft scares the crap out of me. although you know who is a huge fan of Lovecraft? That guy.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Loves Lovecraft. So they found this rare manuscript in a collection of memorabilia from the famous magician Harry Houdini, which is just the coolest thing. I didn't know they were buds. I didn't know they were friends.
But you're forgetting the most important part, which is that Harry Houdini commissioned this piece of work. Harry Houdini asked Lovecraft to create a novel for him.
And it was amazing. So it's called The Cancer of Superstition. It's 26 pages long.
And it's $40,000.
And if you want it, I mean, it's like going up for auction, so it's not, but they're estimating on the high end around 40G. You know, so let's not get a, you, if you've got 38G and you want to go for it, you've still got a decent chance.
I'll wait for the audiobook.
But this would just be, the history nerd in me is just ecstatic, the idea of actually having 26 pages literally directly from Lovecraft. That is really insanely cool.
Like, he actually wrote on those pieces of paper.
Yeah, typewritten, actually, but close enough.
Whatever. He touched the keys that touched the ink.
I have notes this week. It was one of the things that Dan and Danielle have been yelling at me about. So I actually have these.
Nice.
Yeah, so if I sound like I actually know what I'm talking about this week, it's because I actually...
You actually do.
I actually have some vague idea. Anyway, so that goes on the auction in Chicago, Potter and Potter Auctions, on April 9th. So we can go and head on up to Chicago and buy those. If anybody wants to kickstart that for me, let me know.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to create the Kickstarter campaign, but if anybody else wants to kickstart it, then give me the money.
We'll get right on that for you, Al.
Perfect. In that case, I won't even ask about it until April. Next up, Tokyo 2020 Olympics. So, Olympics are not something we cover here. That's, you know.
I think Olympics are awesome.
Heck yeah.
Well, we cover lots of things. We don't cover a lot of things that are, in fact, awesome. We discuss tacos very rarely, and I think we can all agree that tacos are awesome.
True.
So, but we're talking about the Tokyo Olympics in particular because Tokyo is currently really working hard on implementing some of the most ridiculous technology.
Yep.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Japan. No way.
I know. Well, then this is really interesting.
Who'd have thunk?
Well, this is one of the things I didn't know. That in the last time the Summer Games were hosted by Japan, it was in 1964. And at the time, they came out and did this huge, like, it was what really put them on the map for technology and innovation.
Because 10 days before the Games started, they launched the bullet train.
I did not know that.
If you had read the article,
I did read the article, but I missed that part.
Yeah, no, 10 days before the 1964 Olympics, they launched the bullet train, and it was revolutionary.
Coincidence?
Yeah, no, probably.
No, it was not a coincidence.
So. I'm kidding.
Oh, right. I'm a little tired. I'm slow.
So they're going to kind of make the Olympics like a World's Fair.
Yeah, kind of.
That's exactly what they're doing.
And it makes sense because, you know, there's most countries lose a lot of money when they host the Olympics.
Almost all, not most. Almost all.
LA, I think they said LA didn't, and I think Spain, which is kind of funny, but sure.
Well, and Rio isn't looking great.
No. Well, usually when I hear about stuff leading up to the Olympics, it's usually some form of horrific construction failures and some kind of human rights abuses. Those are usually things.
Now, in Rio, it's disease.
Oh, yeah.
The Zika virus.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of female athletes that are not going to go.
With Sochi, like, everyone was all up in arms because the press all got there, and they're, like, they literally didn't have hotel rooms because the hotel was under construction.
Yeah.
And no one told them that. They booked the hotel room, and no one told them, you don't have a hotel room. Like, it's crazy. But anyway, some of the really cool things that are going to be coming out of this is they plan on having self-driving cars, biofuel,
the hydrogen powered
cars, getting the athletes around, and then they're going to use face recognition software to let people into the event with their pass. Like, it's going to be super high tech, so it's very exciting.
I think that for me, the self driving cars is the most interesting part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it is.
Because this is going to be
always into self driving cars.
I am, but this is going to be an excellent example of whether or not it can work.
But a self-driving car has been in an accident, and it was its own fault.
That's one.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's been a lot of people that have been in accidents, and it's been their fault.
Well, and I think you want to, I mean, this is going to be it being tested, because this is one of the big things that I think it's Lyft and GM have partnered to create the next generation of taxis. And their whole idea is that Lyft will have self-driving cars. So just like you do currently with an Uber or Lyft, where you put in the stuff and the car comes to you and picks you up, but there won't be a driver. It'll literally just be a self-driving car that shows up, you get in, you drive, and it
takes you. Well, Domino's needs to do that with their new car that has the oven in it.
Did you guys not watch iRobot? This is what happens.
Actually, Google and Skynet, AI, that'll be where we start up.
We'll get there.
But we'll get there for the B-roll. But I think it's
time travel.
Yeah, actually, yeah, there you go. But I think it's really, really interesting. I love this idea. And I think that if it can survive that, I think that is the best, most ridiculous example that it can go through. So if everybody is not terrified of self-driving cars after the 2020 Olympics, we're good.
So yeah. We have to wait 4 years to find out if everyone's terrified of self-driving cars?
Either that or we'll be like,
see, I'm so
remember
impatient.
That time at the Olympics when the self-driving cars killed everyone?
Oh, okay. Now, to be fair, if that actually happens, we want to apologize now for laughing about that.
Right.
We laughed because it wasn't a thing.
Yeah, now I really feel bad because I feel like I've just time traveled and that actually
happened.
Okay. Actually, you know what? If anybody's time traveled, or if you can come back and let us know so we can fix this,
that'd
we promise
great.
We won't tell. We just don't want to look like assholes. All right. Speaking of time travel, our main topic. So, time travel. I've been wanting to, Danielle's been wanting to do this episode since episode, I think, 4?
Probably, yes.
Like, literally before we were...
I came up with this genius idea a year ago, and Al is always like, oh, well, we need a physicist, and, well, we don't have a physicist, Al.
Not just a physicist. I have physicists.
An astrophysicist.
I need an astrophysicist who specializes in time travel, and it turns out I just can't get one of them. How many did you say there were? Like,
there's like 70 of them, I think.
Which is funny because when Dan said that there were 70 of them, I wasn't paying attention, and I thought you guys were talking about time travelers.
There are, in fact, so many time travelers. We have them cataloged. I don't know why we haven't done any more with the technology. That's weird.
That's hilarious.
But what we're talking about here is what makes time travel work from a storytelling standpoint, not from a what makes it work from like a
a physical,
right? Because
like,
again, we don't have right.
Yeah,
there's no astrophysicist here, so that's gonna make
timey wimey, wibbly wobbly.
Oh, yeah, again, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening,
come on our show.
We don't normally Skype people in, but we'll make an exception.
Will we?
I mean, or if you're in Orlando, we are near the Science Center.
There you go.
Ooh, there you go.
You know he'd want to swing by. Maybe he can learn something over there.
Don't they have a planetarium?
Maybe we should check with them, Al.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Why don't we check with the Science Center first?
This episode is awesome.
It is.
All right, so we may do another time travel episode later is what we're saying. But at the moment, we're just talking about it from a storytelling point.
From a fun perspective.
Right.
Right. So we've each kind of got our own ideas of what kind of makes him work, and we're going to kind of go back and forth a little bit here. I should go ahead and warn you now, Danielle and I are about to disagree pretty hardcore.
It's about to go down, guys.
Oh boy.
So
I'm sure they know what it's about.
So what, but let's start with Dan. What for you, what, when you're watching a show, movie, book, whatever that involves time travel, is there anything that jumps out at you that you really love when they do, or that really is a big pet peeve?
I really like, okay, my favorite example of time travel recently was when they wrapped up River Song's storyline in
yes.
Doctor Who.
Oh.
That was the best conclusion, the best wrap-up to a storyline that we've seen, I think, definitely on that series.
Okay, yeah, agreed. But, I mean, is there any, like... Like
parameters.
Is there like tropes that drive you nuts?
Well,
or?
You know, I always like a little science with my science fiction.
Okay.
So
you want something that is at least like quasi plausible?
Yeah, or at least give me an explanation of some kind of how you're doing it.
So okay. you don't want like the lake house where they're literally like sending letters through a mailbox.
Yeah, I really don't want that.
Yeah.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, really don't want that. Nope.
No Keanu Reeves.
So you want a little bit of science in your science fiction. Anything
yeah.
else? Anything else that you really hate or love?
That and, you know, sticking to the rules. Have an established set of rules and stick to them.
All right. What about you?
That's actually my biggest issue. Like another Sandra Bullock time traveling movie. I forget what it was called, but it was the one where like her husband is dead and the week is all going in the wrong order or whatever.
Is that Sliding Doors?
No. Sliding Doors is. I apologize because I don't have the name of the movie. Maybe it'll come to me later. But the issue that I have is, like, she actually sits down towards, like, the middle of the movie and plots out what days have happened, like, in the order. And there was an issue because her daughter had gotten cut. And that day happened before another day. You know what? Like, the days were out of order, but her daughter wasn't cut. And it ticked me off.
Okay.
I don't like plot holes. Like, we're going to talk about a couple that just, I mean, it doesn't...
If there's a paradox, address it, basically.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Which I feel like Doctor Who does really well, mm-hmm. but Doctor Who also does some things where they say don't do that, like in season one and two of the new version.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then like now that we're on Peter Capaldi, it's like, oh, well, it happened and we're not going to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. And for me, there's three main points that I like to that kind of for me. Number one, has to be consistent.
Uh-huh.
You can't change the rules of it, you know, halfway through. The other one is it can't break the story. That one always kind of bugs me. Mm-hmm. Especially this usually happens when they introduce time travel into something that didn't have time travel in it.
Yeah, I don't like when it's just a trope to fix something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So then it kind of breaks the story. And for me, I really like it when they either establish limits on the time travel. Mm-hmm. Or they show the consequences of not having limits on the time travel.
Right.
So those are kind of my three. So I came up with a couple ones that I thought were good, a couple that I thought were bad, and a couple honorable mentions where we can just kind of completely break it, because why the hell not?
Sure.
And just FYI, I found the movie that I was talking about. It's Premonition.
I've not even heard of that one before.
Like she wakes up one day and he's alive. She wakes up the next day, he's not. She wakes up the next day, he is. And she's like trying to prevent him from getting killed. So, but again, there's a day that happens like on Tuesday and her cheek is cut. But then the Monday that they showed or the Wednesday that they showed earlier, her cheek wasn't cut. So I was like,
yeah, I got the plot holes there, or time hole, or the wibbly wobbly timey.
Yes.
So for me, the examples are the good ones. And if you guys have others, by all means, I think Doctor Who does a pretty good job at it overall.
Overall, yes.
I give Doctor Who a little bit of leeway because time
travel. It's 100% time travel.
Exactly. Right. So that gets, and they do, for the most part, stick within their rules. And even when with David Tennant, they introduced the whole fixed points in time,
mm-hmm.
Which they may have. And I got to say, again, I'm not judging it off of anything before Chris Eccleston.
Right.
When they reboot. It's not a reboot.
It's not a reboot.
When they picked it back up.
Right.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest issues that I had been, it's funny because one of the biggest issues I had been having was with River Song's timeline.
Uh-huh.
And they just kept fixing it and kept fixing it and kept fixing it. But then they do the whole thing like where you can't see yourself because it'll create like a huge paradox. They kind of have been a little bit more flex with that recently, I feel like. There have been a couple episodes where the person has seen themselves and it didn't cause like some major like rift in the time-space continuum.
Right.
So,
and they do, I'm okay with that to a point. I'm also okay with them when the Time Lord says we can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough for me. I think you've got a character who's established as enough authority on this that I'm fine with them saying you can't. You know,
right.
I thought that was pretty good. One of the other ones that I had. Let's see, what else did I have down here? The Butterfly Effect. This was
love that movie.
Ashton Kutcher movie from like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
This one I thought was a good example of them going the other way, where they show the bad side of it. And the movie overall.
And it's not really time travel. It's more like what could have happened.
Right. I guess I kind of loop them all into
kind
of one big. That ending was weird, and we don't really need to get into that weird ending they had there. But I thought that one was a pretty good example of what it was. Did you guys like that one?
I love The Butterfly Effect.
Did you watch it?
I did. I don't recall it that much. I think I only saw it once.
It was more, I did the chaos theory, a butterfly flaps its wings kind of deal. And that was a kind of pretty good exploration of it. The other one, now this one, going rom-com on it, my wife made me sit down and watch it, and I really enjoyed it. It was About Time. So
I'm trying to see.
With About Time, it was like a British comedy or rom-com.
Okay.
And in it, the men of the family have the ability to travel back within their own lifespans.
Okay.
And there's certain limitations that they kind of do on it. And I thought that was, for me, was an excellent example of him establishing limits on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was stuck to within, and when you go back, you're stuck. You can't, you go back to a certain point in time. You have to live from that point. There's no hopping forward in the same way.
Okay.
So you can only travel backwards, and you kind of travel forward, but it lets you redo a day over and over and over again. And there's some limits on it. I'm not getting all of the details of their time travel right.
So, but speaking of Rachel McAdams and a rom-com,
who isn't About Time, by the way.
Right. The Time Traveler's Wife was excellent.
I didn't see that one.
Oh,
I can only rom-com so far, all right?
It's so good because it, like, he keeps coming to see her throughout her whole life. Mm-hmm. So their time streams are kind of like Rivers and the Doctor's. They're not lined up.
Right.
And so it gets like, the first time she sees him, like he's known her. But then the first time he sees her, she's known him.
Right.
Like it's just, it's epic. It's beautiful.
So you think it handles and does the time travel part really well?
It does it really well, I thought. I might be wrong. But
what about Groundhog Day?
That's not really time travel.
I don't consider that time travel.
I kind of thought, no. All right, I'll leave it alone then. I thought it was...
I think it's a great movie, but it's not time travel.
Well, and I wanted to get one more in here, too. Timeline by Michael Crichton. Mm-hmm. The book, not the movie.
Right. Never seen it or read it.
If you are interested in time travel, I got to give that one as a huge recommendation. Michael Crichton, I mean, you want to talk about... the science fiction, because you know, this is the same guy, obviously the guy who did Jurassic Park. And when you read Jurassic Park, even when you watch the movie Jurassic Park, you come out of there going, oh, so that's how you make dinosaurs. Like,
right.
I mean, he really he does tons of research into the science, or he did, God rest his soul, a bunch of research in the science of all of this stuff before he ever sits down to write it. And Timeline establishes the time travel theory in a really great way. The limits on it, beautiful all the way around. One of the best time travel pieces I've seen anywhere. So that's mine. So let's fight about Harry Potter.
All right. I honestly, can I tell you guys something? I didn't know there was time travel in Harry Potter.
Yeah, the time turner.
Okay, we're going to have to. We made Danielle. Have you
seen the movies?
The first two.
You've only seen the first two.
Look, we made Danielle watch every single Marvel movie.
Ever made.
We may have you watch all the Harry Potter movies.
It could happen, I guess.
We'll circle back to this.
What's funny is that the third movie was actually my favorite movie.
The third movie is when it gets good. Yeah. The first two movies, I mean, I don't really care for the first two movies all that much.
They're simple. They're cute. What they're supposed to do.
Right, it's going back and watching them now that I've seen the rest of it becomes a lot more
laborious.
No, actually less. I mean, I can watch them now because I see where they're going.
Right, dealing with the fun.
Anyway, so the time turners and Harry Potter.
When I was reading book number 3, The Prisoner of Azkaban, for the first time, and I finished that scene. Spoilers?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. When they show up outside the infirmary or nurses, whatever, the clinic, and Dumbledore has just come out of the door and he's about to get them back in because they've just left. Chills.
And I'm not talking about it from that perspective. I'm talking about
it. It works. It's perfect. It's flawless. It is 100% the best.
Okay, so let me introduce another opinion. You've got... you've already established the rules of this universe. Well, you didn't personally. J.K. Rowling did,
right. Not me.
But J.K. has established the rules for this universe, and they're fine. I'm completely good with them.
Yeah.
You introduced time travel. Okay, you're kind of making this a little wonky, but fine. But then you're going to tell me that you have a magic item that can allow you to travel back in time through just... turning something over and over and over again.
A time turner.
Right. Well, right. No, but it's important. This is important because especially like Dan, who hasn't seen it, you physically have to turn something.
Right. Each turn is like an hour or something.
Right. So
a set amount of minutes.
So this theoretically then could be used to do a whole bunch of really important things. This is the whole kill Hitler thing. You could have gone back and stopped.
So you don't have to get up to 55 miles per hour?
88
miles per hour?
What the?
Hey, it's been a long
You're
day.
You're fired. Right.
88 miles per hour?
Yeah. No, you just sit there and turn the damn thing.
Oh, okay.
And then you're back in time. And then I think in the next movie or so, all of the time turners are magically destroyed.
Actually, the time turners weren't destroyed until they went to the ministry.
Right. I mean, it's a movie or two later. Or a book or two later. So two books. And then they're all gone. And I'm supposed to be... I'm sorry. It just felt like a plot hole. It felt weird. And they've explained it since then, but you shouldn't have to explain it is my point.
I see what you're saying. And I will say I have expressed in conversations actually with you that I was a little bit frustrated because there are devices that they use that come up frequently. He uses the invisibility cloak all the time. certain potions, like the Polyjuice potion. They spent half the book writing it in book two, and then it came up a few more times, you know?
Right.
They don't do that with the Time Turner because it is so timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, like, difficult to
they
do.
They don't establish the rules for it.
But I will say, if you just took that sequence of time travel, she did it epic.
She wrote it well.
She wrote it epic.
And you know what? It's completely fine to just say you're claiming fangirl on this, and that's fine. God knows I claim fanboy on enough other items.
I'm not. I mean,
you can't
I
tell
am.
Me that you really think that this is consistent.
But it's not consistent with the rest of the stories because they never talk about it again. But it absolutely worked. It worked in their physical world. It worked with the characters. It worked. It just worked.
But they didn't use it to go back and save any of the people they lost. They
well,
don't use it to go back
no,
and stop
because you,
him in the first place, to go stop Voldemort in the first place. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need to establish why we can't go back and kill Hitler. If you don't establish something like that, then, you know, you've got the...
Does every time travel movie explain why we can't go back and kill Hitler?
Or at least identifies the specifics. I mean, like, look.
Did they, in Timeline, did they identify why you can't go
absolutely.
Back?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And in Doctor Who, they say there's fixed points in time. Now, they don't explain what makes something a fixed point in time or whatever, but they say you can't go back and do that. About Time establishes limits. You can't go back and kill Hitler because you can't get there and with the powers that they line up with About Time. I mean, and don't get me wrong. It's still an amazing book. She's still an amazing author. She's
okay.
not perfect.
I feel like... Yes, maybe it was a plot device for that book, but it was still written extremely well.
Absolutely.
And that makes it good time travel.
Mm.
Okay, so we're working with different definitions here.
Yeah. lost me.
Because like I'll say something like Star Trek.
If I'm choosing a winner, I'll just won.
Like, I'll take like Star Trek, for example. Star Trek uses time travel horribly.
Mm-hmm.
In the TV shows?
Just no, period.
Like, I never saw it in the movies.
They do
really?
Star Trek IV, the original series.
The two movies that it just came out.
Oh, no, they haven't.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they have.
Well, I guess they did. They did the when they came back and destroyed Vulcan.
Yeah.
But there
was kind of that whole movie.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
It was a big time travel movie.
Which one?
The very first one, where the ship travels through time and then shows up and destroys Vulcan.
Oh, I didn't.
And then Spock is in his little time machine, too.
I guess I didn't catch that.
Going around.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a time travel.
You know what? That's okay.
He hasn't watched Harry Potter.
I'm not saying.
But you did see it and you didn't catch it. That's the thing.
That's okay. We love you anyway, Danielle. I won't make you go back and rewatch Star Trek until he finishes watching Harry Potter. Is that
okay,
fair?
Okay, that's fair.
Right. I guess.
God, do I have to be the resident expert between you two? Because that's really...
Me.
I guess I am the host. So I guess there's something. Yeah. But Star Trek does time travel from a... Based on like the stuff, the way I look at these, consistency, establishing realistic limits, doesn't break the story. Star Trek, it just breaks all of those. They're like, oh, what are you going to do? I guess time travel? Yeah, time travel. Okay.
And didn't they get into in Voyager too?
You know, I don't know.
I think towards the end.
Isn't that Star Trek's attitude with like everything? Like, oh, we'll just do that.
No, because Star Trek does an excellent job at putting science into science fiction.
Absolutely.
But are they always consistent with all of their plot devices, like other things?
Oh, very. Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, there's always going to be holes in parts, but time travel is one of their, I think, where their worst offenses are usually time travel related.
Gotcha.
And now sometimes they're amazing and interesting. The Star Trek Next Generation episodes where they went back and met, what's his name, Mark Twain?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best episodes of Next Generation ever. And I loved it, and it was fun. But they randomly do the slingshot around the sun that they used in Star Trek, the original series, and in Star Trek IV. This is a couple of ways where I'm like, they don't establish any consequences. As a matter of fact, they even laugh at the consequences at the end of the reboot.
Right.
Where Spock meets Spock, and how did you get him to stop? I may have told him that horrible things would happen. And like, just like a nod and a wink. I'm like, listen, just because you do a nod and a wink doesn't mean that wasn't crap.
Right.
So, but it's still fun. So yeah. I would quit that with
just
Harry.
Like Superman flying backwards around the Earth is fun, but it's stupid.
What does that do? What does that accomplish?
It goes back
turns
in
back time.
Oh, that's...
That was one of the
I'm sorry, that's not stupid.
He reverses the spin of the Earth, okay. And if the Earth is spinning backwards, of course time must be going backwards.
That's the way science works.
It's like crossing the international date line. You've literally time traveled.
Exactly. Now, what was that? That was Superman. Was that? Was that? Because one of the
Superman 2, wasn't it?
The 2, I think. It was
the blue-eyed guy.
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
I remember watching that one and watching like drinks go back into glasses.
Yeah.
And like the whole like they just it was fun. It was fine. It was the 80s. That was completely fine. But yeah, it's just, it does look a little silly now, and it is among Superman's more random powers.
Yeah.
I would also identify as one of our worst offenders. Would also be the Terminator series. They don't.
Are you talking original, like the first two, or are you talking like...
I'm talking about the series as a whole.
All of them?
Does three count? Do we have to count three?
All of them. Listen, there's, I guess, in one, okay, I'm tracking.
Yeah.
Goes back in time, yada, yada. Two, we're stretching it a little bit, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone back to stop the thing that happened.
Right.
But then, and this is what I'm talking about where we establish limits... So now we're going back to go back, but the other guy's already back, so we can't go back.
Yeah.
And they do and then there was Terminator Genesis, which I literally couldn't even watch.
Oh, it was bad.
I just can't. Yeah.
That's why the TARDIS is essential for time travel.
Oh, you mean on establishing limits?
No, it's just essential.
Well, no, I think it's a good point, though, because if you don't have a TARDIS, you can't time travel.
Right.
So it's not just, you can't just decide to time travel and everybody goes and does it.
Right.
Although I guess now there's also a diner that can...
Well, if you're a Time Lord, you have something that is your TARDIS. It doesn't necessarily have to be a blue police box, but it is a...
Time and relative dimension and space machine.
Well, I was looking for something less specific, but anyway. Right, yes. If you're a Time Lord, you can't just like snap your fingers and you're in wherever you want to be.
Oh, okay. Q.
Oh,
going
back
to Star Trek. Yeah.
I love Q.
But even that established the limit because it was whatever Q felt like.
Exactly.
So that was still like a... And he was kind of a dick. So he was like... God, I love the Q episodes. Those are so good. Also, the only other one I had down as a bad example was Looper.
I never actually watched Looper.
That movie started out so promising. So promising.
It was a lot of fun.
And then all of a sudden there is a kid that can control the weather... And he's running from himself, and he has to kill himself. Like, it just, no. It was no.
It was, it did.
It was
it got,
no.
It got bad.
What about Heroes?
Ooh.
Heroes tries.
Yeah.
Heroes, it depends on when you want to talk about.
Well, obviously.
Like, season one.
Have we mourned, by the way? Have we mourned the loss of Heroes Reborn?
Let me tell you.
I haven't even finished Heroes Reborn.
It was canceled.
Well, I still have 3 episodes in my Hulu queue. Yeah.
I think I've got just about as far. I think I have 2 or 3 episodes left, and I was just like, I can't.
After it got canceled, they had like 2 or 3 episodes left that they put out, and I was just like, what's the point?
Yeah, I just don't care.
I did not care about the new characters enough. I just didn't.
And Noah Bennett, God bless his soul, he did his best.
He did do his best, and he was awesome, and I will always love him.
Yeah, he was great, but you can only do so much with what. But Looper was a great example for me of like, this was fun, but
it should have been better because it had an amazing cast.
It did,
and again, it started out really great, like a great premise. Like, yeah, I totally get it, but then they introduced a kid that could control the weather because he was having a temper tantrum. That's totally not what you're like.
Can we
just
be grateful for a moment that 2-year-olds learn temper tantrums cannot alter the weather?
Well, I don't think he was 2, but yes.
Whatever, kids in general.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I'm just imagining, God, the tornadoes that would rip through my house. My insurance would be a bitch. A couple honorable mentions. Because the other shame for this is if you don't take time travel seriously at all,
right?
If you're like, we're just having fun here, and so I had 3, which I think are all pretty obvious.
And how come we haven't talked about Back to the Future?
Right.
I think you need to time travel back to when you wrote your notes.
No.
He didn't want to open that can of worms.
I didn't. And I know. So,
oh, then you should have warned me before. So now we need a time travel TARDIS so that you can tell me not to say that.
That is not what we're using the TARDIS for. Or the DeLorean. Whatever.
No.
Okay, so I struggle with Back to the Future.
Okay.
Because I don't... They...
They ended it on a crappy Western.
Actually, I liked the third one.
I liked the third one.
You're the one who doesn't like the third one.
I didn't like the second one.
My beef is that they don't... It doesn't. They don't follow the rules that I established that I like when I for a travel time.
They don't follow your rules.
No, they don't. They don't follow my rules. And so typically that would mean that I'd be like, "Well, it was a fun movie, but the time travel aspect."
Which
like,
is ironic because it was probably the first time travel movie that you would have seen. Like
absolutely. But here's the thing: it is so damn good and so much fun that even
you just
the time travel,
it. You forget.
Even
it.
The time travel, I feel like, oh, it works. It's fine. I guess like you and Harry Potter. Like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Not what I mean.
It makes sense. Don't worry about it. Just, it's fine. Don't. Why are you arguing? Like, it's just that good. But
yeah.
But Back to the Future 2 in particular with the whole sports almanac.
Back to the
Future
2.
It is just
so much. I mean, yeah. I don't actually hate it. I don't like it.
If you ever, you know what made it really hard for me too was CinemaSins. Who does the YouTube channel? Does the Everything Wrong With?
They do right. Oh, I have to go and see it.
And they did Everything Wrong With all three Back to the Future movies.
I have to go watch that. Now.
And
although sometimes it's not things that are actually wrong with it, it's just things that they don't like,
right.
On a personal level,
right? And it's fine.
They
it's,
did that
it's
with
dumb.
Frozen.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which I watched, by the way, not because I have a niece. Just
like when they
I wanted to.
When they like, because I've watched a lot of like the ones from Marvel and stuff.
Yeah,
and most of the things that they cite on there that they count up. Aren't something that's wrong with the movie.
It's just something that they don't agree with.
Like
right.
This.
Yeah.
Well, you should have worn a different color shirt.
And I accept that. I don't really take them too terribly seriously.
Yeah.
But when they started picking it up, when they started picking apart the Back to the Future movies and all the time travel inconsistencies, I was like, ah.
Yeah.
So I left it off the list on purpose. But you're right. We need to at least mention it.
Yep.
Back to the Future gets a pass from me, and it shouldn't.
Yeah.
I acknowledge that it shouldn't. You know what? I'll claim fanboy.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, fair enough.
It's perfect. Fanboy.
All right, so back to your honorable mentions.
Okay, biggest honorable mention, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I love that movie. I have seen it 800 times.
Yeah, I think I don't... They completely are like, we don't give a shit about your time travel rules. Like, they do everything
like
flick off.
All I care about is George Carlin and the girls that do the...
The slow motion rock.
Yeah, the slow motion. I don't even know how to like explain that, but that scene. I don't care. I love that movie.
And
Napoleon at the water park. Come on.
Yeah.
Come
oh yeah.
On.
Their whole speech at the end when they give their presentation.
Yes.
Was just
Genghis Khan sitting there like all furry and just dire with the turkey leg. And, yeah, that's totally Genghis Khan.
I was completely fine with all of it. My other honorable mentions were Flight of the Navigator.
Yes.
Which was, again, I don't...
Okay. I think that's very specific to our age group.
Flight
it
of
is.
The Navigator
oh, absolutely is. Yeah.
Is like what Frozen is to these kids to me. Like Flight of the Navigator
yes.
was like my like magical movie.
It was amazing.
All the little creatures and the really sweet, cute nurse. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I love Flight of the Navigator. And the CG for the time was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Like the spaceship changing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now it doesn't really hold up, but for that time period,
it holds up
really
pretty decent.
Good.
The green screening is a little bit rough, but other than
yeah,
that,
I guess,
pretty
but
good.
I don't even know how
the
CGI
up,
of it is actually
it holds
good
up
though.
Better than the original Tron, but...
Yeah.
But, like, oh my God, I love
it. But it was so quintessentially 80s with his recent Netflix movie aside, mm-hmm. Pee-wee Herman doing a voice. I mean...
Oh, it was great.
You don't get much more like...
Paul Rubens.
You don't get much more pure 80s
yes.
than Paul Rubens doing the voice.
Yes.
Like, I only know what's in your head, and you don't know your way from your house to a 7-Eleven. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was, And my last one for the more modern was the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Which is so funny.
Yes.
It's just another one with, like, I don't give a damn. We're just going to have fun.
Yeah, because if you spill energy drink and liquor in your tub time, your tub.
Hot tub.
I can't talk anymore.
That's
you
okay.
Guys.
You know, but I actually was pretty annoyed because I had a hot tub the first time I moved out.
Yeah, he tried
in college.
This.
We did. We poured all sorts of shit in there. We broke the damn hot
on
tub.
On purpose?
Well, I didn't do it on purpose. I went to go into the hot tub, which, to be fair, I shouldn't have done anyway because that water was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's gross.
But there was no time travel. Nobody time traveled. It just broke and
you
was
just
stuck
blacked
on the back
out.
Porch.
My all-time
favorite
moment of Hot Tub Time Machine, and I've seen the second one, and mm-hmm. I'm not sad about that. But my favorite my favorite moment is when she's done sleeping with Rob Corddry, and she stands up and she goes, I feel pregnant. Yeah, that's not how it works.
God, I just got terrified. Like, yeah. I'm not Rob Corddry. I wasn't in that movie. I definitely didn't have sex with that woman, but I'm like terrified. It's like, oh God. All right. So that was our that was
Well,
oh.
we want to know what our fans think. Did we miss one glaring movie that you think that we should have mentioned? Do you think that we're wrong on our parameters? What do you guys think?
Really, what we want you to do is weigh in on Danielle versus Al on the whole Harry Potter.
Yes. But just make sure you weigh in on my side because I really need it, you guys.
Two more honorable mentions for me. TV shows. We've got Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, they're still setting their parameters, and it's still,
wonky.
You know, becoming what it's going
to
be.
Well, with the TV show, you got to give
but
them
so far,
some time
so
to
good.
Establish those anyway.
And also Continuum on Sci-Fi.
I have not seen that yet. Is it good?
It's B-level, but
okay.
it's fun.
It's sci-fi.
Yeah, it's a sci-fi show.
Does the time
it's
travel track?
It's very Canadian
track?
Sci-fi show. Huh?
Does the time travel track?
Pretty well.
I actually love Canadian sci-fi shows like Lost Girl and...
The idea is it starts off in the future and the corporations have taken over the government basically. And basically we're all slaves to the corporations and there's a group of terrorists that don't agree with it.
That's happening now.
They go back in time to try to take down the corporations before it can get to that point. And a cop ends up going back in time with them and it's timey-wimey.
Any honorable mentions that we missed for you, Danielle?
Not that I can think of. I mean, I pretty much was pulling up my honorable mentions as we went.
Right.
There's been like
Quantum Leap.
Oh. You're fired, Al.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I didn't think about enough TV shows. I was going more of the movie side.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh
Quantum
my
Leap,
gosh.
Quantum
Leap did set up its rules and it did follow them.
Yes,
it did.
Absolutely.
It did time travel really, really well.
And there were a couple times he
and
actually
uniquely.
Leaped into himself
yes.
and carried his own storyline along, which was interesting.
God, the evil
Scott
leaper.
Scott Bakula's the man.
No, dude, yes. Scott Bakula was good, but it was, what's his face, Al.
Oh, yeah.
That really.
You just like him because he's your namesake.
No, I love him because he's freaking awesome.
And he had the little boop, boop, beep, boop.
And he drank, and he was like, I don't know, like he was kind of an asshole about it. I loved, and he did exactly what I think most people would do, like he would follow the girls, and like a little bit of kind of like.
And he was always like smoking a cigar.
He's awesome. Yeah. I just.
He was like a Rat Packer almost.
He did kind of have a little bit of a Rat Pack vibe going.
Yeah,
that was a great show.
Yeah.
You know what? Good call. Can't believe I missed Quantum Leap.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what else we missed on the Facebook page under the comments. Let us know where we screwed the pooch. We'd like to know.
Because Al definitely screwed some pooches.
Not literally.
Gross.
Let's move on to the B-roll quickly, please. Going back to, we talked about Skynet and the robot takeover.
Yep.
Danielle's worried about self-driving cars when, in fact, what actually does make me a little concerned is Google's new is Google's new search in one of the things that Google uses for search engine, and it's called Rank Brain. And so the idea behind this is that Google has a bunch of different ways that it calculates your search results, and those are highly classified, super
algorithm.
Super secret. Yeah, they're super secret squirrel. They'll kill you if you try to figure them out. Like, I don't know that for certain, but I wouldn't be shocked. Nor would I necessarily blame them. Is that wrong?
I feel like you're going to get shot even for saying that.
I will not. I support Google. I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. I just want to make that very, very clear here. So, what happened? So, back on February 3rd, the guy who's in charge of Google search engine, and a guy by the name of Amit Singhal, whose name I probably just pronounced, slaughtered. I want to apologize for that.
Because he heard it and he's mad.
I'm sure he is. His replacement is a guy whose last name there's no way in hell I'm going to pronounce correctly.
Okay.
But his first name is John.
Oh, good.
Gianduria? Gianduria? Giannandrea.
That's a rough childhood is what that is.
Gianandrea.
You have no idea either. Give me that.
No, that's how you say Gian is John.
Oh.
Like his first name.
John John?
Yeah, basically.
That's not good. Yeah, we'll that's no better.
John Gianandrea.
So Actually, that sounds really good, though. So
I know.
Well done. So anyway, so he's the one who took over the top spot for overseeing the company search engine. And this is particularly important because this is the guy who, up to this point, has been in charge of Google's work in artificial intelligence, which is considerable. Mm-hmm. And they've got a bunch of deep neural networks, which is I'm going to read this part verbatim because I'm just going to get this wrong. Networks of hardware and software that approximate the web of neurons in the human brain. By analyzing vast amounts of digital data, these neural nets can learn all sorts of useful tasks like IDing photos, recognizing commands spoken into a smartphone, and, as it turns out, responding to internet search queries. Which is why when you go, okay, Google, and you do this, it works better than when you go, hey, Siri, and Siri, I'm assuming, ignores you.
Doesn't give a crap.
I've never had a single problem with Siri.
No. Good. I've heard that Siri's in the updates, the Siri's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, the very first one that came out, it would sometimes stumble. But I mean, in the last 2 years, I haven't had any problems.
So, but in some cases, these deep neural networks, or deep learning is what they call it, can learn a task so well they actually outperform humans. They do it better, they do it faster, they do it on a larger scale. And this is already being used by Facebook, Twitter, Skype, and a bunch of others. Anytime you're popping into a search bar, it's kind of pulling that stuff up to try to understand what's going on. RankBrain, however, is where things get weird.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because with RankBrain, they can't track how it got to its answer.
What do you mean?
Like they say, okay, rank. You put a search in, and RankBrain says, here's what I think you're looking for. And then they go back and they look and they say, okay, well, you did this and you followed this over here, and they follow its train of thought, you know, metaphorically speaking,
right?
To understand why it produced the result that it did. However, and they're doing this, and I'm not an expert in this.
You're
field.
You're bastardizing it a bit.
Right, but they do that on a much, much bigger scale with much, much larger quantities of data, mm-hmm. and they RankBrain is spitting out the right answers, but when they go back to look at how it got there, they can't follow it. They don't understand it.
So RankBrain is that trouble student that won't show its work, but is still getting the right answers.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we can't.
That's a problem.
Right. And this comes back to machine learning, which is where a computer teaches itself how to do something rather than being taught by humans. This is where we start getting into the AI.
Mm-hmm.
So RankBrain, yeah, exactly. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So RankBrain uses RankBrain is the third item, the third level that it uses for doing these. Because when you put a search in, Google searches like a whole bunch of different levels, but RankBrain is the number three. The first two are top secret squirrel stuff, and so that's kind of what goes down. And so they don't know how RankBrain is doing what it's doing, but it's continuously correct.
Shut it down.
They should rename it Ultron.
It down.
Or Skynet. I mean, yeah.
I have never, ever seen a movie where this goes right.
Well, and this was so incredible, too, because Stephen Hawking actually came out and has said flat out, like, this is a problem, guys. Because if you follow basic logic, if the machine becomes self-aware, which is the next logical step, I mean, you know, and logic being a, you know, in quotations there, but the next logical step, after it learns how to think, then it learns eventually kind of becomes self-aware. That's the idea. And at that point, once it becomes self-aware, it's going to look at us.
Uh-huh. Self-aware robots are what kills us. Stop it. Stop it, Google.
And the only thing
bad
it can
Google,
do...
Bad Google, bad.
They're what kills you because you don't accept them as our new overlords.
Exactly. I, for one, and I think Dan
Absolutely.
Is with me, we welcome our robot overlords.
That's right.
And
oh
you know what?
Gosh.
Here's my point, though. Would robot overlords really be so much worse than what we currently
have?
I can think of worse options.
You've said this before, but yes, it's terrifying. Have you not seen the movies? It's a massacre.
Listen.
Are they going to build a wall? Sorry.
No, but you go with something like iRobot, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they want to kill us.
No. No, they don't. They want to kill those of us that got in the way. The rest of us, they just want to stay in our homes and relax.
Mm-hmm. No, that is not what
the
happens.
Matrix. They were using us for food, sure, but they put us in a giant, really fun playground, and they tried to give us an idyllic life the first time.
Yeah,
the only reason it didn't work is because we're assholes.
He raises good points.
I'm saying,
I would like to see surrogates before we see AI.
I don't know what surrogates are.
You
well, I know what a surrogate is like.
You've not seen the movie, the Bruce Willis movie, Surrogates?
No.
Oh, it's really good.
No. Is this
they're
the...
kind of like they go avatars.
Into... Yeah.
Robot avatars that take
oh,
places.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we're getting there. I mean, Oculus Rift is dropping. It's not just video games, it turns out. There's going to be... We're going to get there. I personally would much rather we just go cyborg. Like, I want to start replacing my body parts with robot parts.
I agree with that, as long as it can't override your own personal brain.
Oh, that'll eventually happen. I mean, that's kind of the...
See, this is the problem. You can't have self-aware robots.
Yes, you can. Watch this.
This is so scary.
It turns out it's not even hard. It'll be.
I am more scared of this than a nuclear bomb, which is sad because a nuclear bomb is realistic.
Well, actually, so is this.
Well, that's
and if you
I'm
think
saying.
About it on the scale, your odds of dying from a nuclear blast are pretty low, all told. So you're not completely wrong to want to be more nervous about this, but unless you welcome our robot overlords,
that's right.
Don't fight the machine. In this case, we're being literal.
Yeah,
the literal machine.
I would rather. A zombie apocalypse than robot overlords.
Because a zombie apocalypse would last 5 minutes.
Not even.
Like, seriously, maybe in other worlds it would last there. But are you kidding? In the United States, we are so ready for a zombie apocalypse. We can't educate our children. But let me tell you what, zombie apocalypse, done.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so funny. It's so true.
It is. Like, do you know how many people have, like, in Florida, there are so many people with zombie survival plans that do not have a hurricane survival plan. Ask around.
No,
they will ask anybody,
I know.
What do you do in the case of a zombie? They've already, oh, I've got a boat that I keep right here, and I got some rash. I got to go back in the car.
We all know what to do when there's a hurricane. Have a party.
Yeah, that's exactly. Actually,
buy some plywood,
and
buy some booze.
And drink every time they say hunker down.
That's right.
Yeah, oh yeah. Every time you see an idiot reporter with tree branches flying past him.
If you still have TV, that is.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. We'll get a generator because we're Floridians. So I guess it's true. I guess we're already pre-built for that. Maybe that's why you have zombies. We got so bored preparing for hurricanes. Just moved on. All right, so anyway, let's go ahead and start us with some shameless plugs, Danielle.
So March 18th was an important day, not in Netflix, not just because of Daredevil, but also because the new Pee-wee Herman dropped direct to Netflix. It's amazing. He co-wrote, co-produced. It's called Pee-wee's Big Holiday, and it is co-starring Joe Manganiello, and he's playing himself, and it's brilliant, it's epic, it's nostalgic, it's funny, it's a little over the top, a little cheesy, but it's totally worth it.
It's Pee-wee Herman.
It's totally Pee-wee Herman. Like, the whole first sequence, the second sequence is very reminiscent of Pee-wee and Pee-wee's Playhouse and... You know, the Back to the Future, all the gadget stuff, and it's beautiful. It's a great movie.
Alrighty, Mr. Benoit.
As always, you can find me at epiceventsorlando.com.
All right.
That's it?
They all know. They've heard it.
They do. They know. Epiceventsorlando.com. That's where you go.
You know what? I'll throw out something else, just because I'm about to start rereading Red Sun.
What is that?
It's basically What If Superman landed in Russia instead of Kansas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I read that one. That one was amazing. That is the one worth rereading too.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's only I think 3 or 4 comics long. It's a pretty short series.
Yeah, it's a short run.
It's a graphic novel.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's absolutely worth checking out. Red Sun was really good. That's a good call. I mean, I'm gonna plug Daredevil, but that's pretty obvious. It's been everything that I wanted it to be.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's been,
but you're not finished with it.
No, but I don't know if they literally just didn't make if they just stopped making it where I'm at, I still would be like, well, the ending was crap, but it was still amazing. Like, that was, they kept it to their classic style. They did all the things I wanted them to do. I don't know if it's as good as season 1, but season 1 was
scary.
If it was half as good as season 1, it's still better than 90% of the stuff on television.
Yeah.
So, and I think I'm also going to plug, I'm not, since I just completely and totally blanked.
Okay. Perfect.
The Dresden Files. There we go.
Ooh, that's an oldie but a goodie.
It is. Well, they've still got new novels. It's been around since 2000, but they're still dropping novels now, or he is still dropping novels now. The Dresden Files is a great series of books. You thinking of something else?
I thought it was a TV show.
It was. Don't talk about the TV show.
Oh, sorry. I liked the TV show.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you liked it. You'll love if you like this. Listen, if you like the TV show, the books, the whole premise is about in modern day, present day Chicago, there's a guy who happens to be a wizard, and he's literally in the Yellow Pages as a wizard. And if you need wizard services, you call him up, and And the story, he starts out as not terribly good as a wizard. He has some spells, but he gets beat up a lot. And then over time, he gets better and more powerful. And the book series has been phenomenal. I read a bunch of them, and now I'm going back to pick them back up. So I'm pretty excited about it. So Dresden Files.
I have one more shameless plug. Hey, Dan, you should probably watch Harry Potter. I'm rereading it. Oh my gosh, I have not slept in the last few days because I just love this book so much.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, once again, folks. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/forgeeksake. Make sure you guys go on there and tell us what movies we forgot to mention. Definitely tell us who won between Al and me. And it should be me because I'm always right. And I'm pretty. I'm just kidding.
It doesn't work. Yeah, audio format doesn't really. You can't tell the pretty. I have a six pack.
You can.
That work?
Where?
It's an audio format. No.
Where? Oh, in your fridge?
No, in the bag right here. I don't leave it in the fridge.
Also, you can find us on the Twitter at @4 Geeks Sake, 2 S's. And yeah, subscribe to our podcast. Make sure you're telling your friends about us. And yeah, that's all we got.
All right. We also have some really interesting stuff coming up in the next couple weeks, by the way. We've got some pretty big projects and plans that we've got launching for Geek's Sake. So make sure that you're staying tuned. We're really excited about them. We hope that you're going to join us for them. So until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, Wild Stallions!